Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Why don't you sign up for our weekly web-only political podcast? It's called Digesting Politics, and WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I do it every week. We were originally going to end this on Super Tuesday. Then remember, we promised to extend it until the Democrats had a nominee. Ta-da! So we will be recording another Digesting Politics this afternoon, and then decide whether to just extend it on a weekly basis. No. We have decided to extend it on a weekly basis through the campaign. So you can sign up for our free weekly Digesting Politics podcast at WNYC.org. Andrea and I will be recording a new one this afternoon. So our lines are full right now with African-American listeners who are going to reflect on the meaning of the Obama nomination to racial equality in America in general and to your own family's lives. But first, here's a short clip from the interview that we did with Barack Obama on this show last September 25th. It speaks for itself. It starts with my question. What do you see as the significance of you being the first black candidate to have a real shot at the White House?
Well, I think it's a sign that we've made progress in the same way that we've made progress allowing Senator Clinton to be obviously a very credible candidate who's also a woman. But one of the things that I think all the voters should recognize is that myself and Senator Clinton, Senator Richardson, a Latino candidate, none of us are running as symbolic candidates. All of us believe that we are the best person for the job and for all Americans. And I think people need to recognize that that's a great stride that we've made, but that we've still got a long way to go.
A great stride that we've made, but we've still got a long way to go, says Barack Obama about racial equality in America. He said that on this show on September 25th of last year, and it was very early in the morning, and I think he had just woken up when we taped that phone interview. So that was not the, you know, a big concert hall Barack Obama. That was the 15 minutes after waking up, and I have to do this previously scheduled media interview Barack Obama. But he made the points that I guess you would expect him to make, that he and Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson, who was still in the race at that time, were not running as symbolic candidates, as he put it, but because they each thought they were just the best qualified human being to be president of the United States. But still, sign of hope, but we still have a long way to go on the big picture. So how about you on this question? Daryl in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Daryl.
How you doing?
All right.
Well, I really believe that to have Barack winning, whether he wins or not, is irrelevant to the idea of how the average black has to address the world or is addressed by the world, not to mention the idea that when he ran, he had to strip himself of anything that was black to make white America comfortable, just like Hillary had to strip herself, couldn't say that she was a woman, and so on. So I don't really see where the general public benefits. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
So I'll ask somebody else what they'll say to their kids about this. But, Daryl, thank you for starting us off. And David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say that I think it ends one or breaks one last psychological barrier to unity in America. I mean, as Americans, not to say we're all going to love each other, but at least it's an idea that, you know, we have Americans and some people can become president and blah, 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 and race becomes less of an issue.
What do you say to Daryl, the previous caller, who said, look, this doesn't really mean anything to how he or other, ordinary African-Americans have to present themselves or are perceived as blacks in this country?
Well, I'm not sure that I totally agree with that. I think that that Well, I just think that blacks in general will themselves, particularly children, will realize, well, there are no real barriers. I mean, each person in this country can do whatever they want if they work hard enough for it, regardless of race.
David, thank you very much. Joanne in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
You know, I mean, I think that I'm very proud of Barack Obama and really hope that he gets to the presidency. But in many ways, I feel as if he hasn't been discussing the structural barriers that prevent African Americans and other people of color from achieving what he has been able to achieve. I think that white America likes their blacks in a certain way. Barack Obama has the correct credentials. He presents himself in a specific way. And I wonder if another candidate, why is he and Deval Patrick, who's also a very impressive person, why are they the ones who are the new face of politics, but not someone like Jesse Jackson Jr., who really is pushing forward a more progressive agenda in many ways, and who's talking about the structural barriers. I mean, I think I'm saying a lot of different things, but I think that the point is that he isn't discussing a lot of the structural issues, and I think that it'll be difficult for him to address those issues.
Right. So you agree in a way with what Daryl, the first caller, said.
Exactly, yeah.
With respect to how Obama has had to present himself almost as a race-neutral candidate.
Exactly. I mean, I think that the Sean Bell decision is a great case in point. Why did it take Hillary Clinton, who I think in many ways disrespected the black community during this campaign, but why did it take her to point out the inequities of that decision? And Barack Obama, meanwhile, really just had a very, very neutral decision. I think Jenna, Louisiana, is another case in point. I think that he really has had to present himself in a very neutral way.
He kind of had to be coaxed to speak out about that.
Exactly, exactly.
So do you think that sets back the cause of racial equality if he becomes president, or wouldn't you go that far?
I don't know. I think that it gives a lot of people an excuse. I think that a lot of people who really believe that they are progressive can now come out and say, you know what, I've done my part. I went into the booth. I voted for a black man. I supported his candidacy a great deal. But they're not looking at their own racism, and they're not looking at the ways in which they benefit from the racist structures that exist here that prevent people from getting to a position like Barack Obama.
Joanne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chris in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I disagree with Daryl and some of the other people who just spoke. Barack Obama is not running for the president of the black America. He's running for the president of the United States. And I am offended when people say he had to strip himself from being black. You don't know the man. Black is your color. Black is not how you speak or how you conduct yourself. I have a 2-month-old baby. I'm not from America, and I'm so happy to be in America to witness history. Whether he wins or not, I'm so happy to be here to see. I was here to see it, and I was here to witness it. And I know he becoming president sets a good blazing trail for my son who's going to be growing up. So, I mean, listen, let's stop all this nonsense. Who's black enough? That's just ridiculous. When there is a white candidate running, he doesn't address every inequality that affects any white person around the world. Why does it, whenever a black person runs for anything, he has to carry the burden of every problem of every black person in the whole world and in America? Come on, let's stop it now, okay? This is the time to celebrate. This is a happy event. This is an historic event. Stop it and just pray for the man, thank God, and move on.
Do you think, and Chris, I know obviously you speak for yourself, you don't speak for any group of people, but do you think that there is any kind of divide in the perception of this question between people like yourself who are immigrants from the Caribbean and people who are descendants of slaves in this country?
Yes, I think there is, because in my small community, I mean, we were up late looking at this thing. We called one another. Everybody was jumping up. Everybody was celebrating. Nobody wasn't, oh, he wasn't addressing this, addressing that. Everybody was just happy. As a matter of fact, we feel so happy that, like, it doesn't even matter whether he wins or not. That's how happy we feel, that he did something that nobody else did. It doesn't matter what he say or how he sounds like. His color matches my color, period. Okay?
Chris,
and he is there.
Thank you very, very much. Our next caller is in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and listening online. Tony, thanks so much for calling us.
Hello, how are you?
Good. So what are you thinking?
I am thinking it's overwhelming. It's very exciting. I walk into shops here in Amsterdam, and the shop owners, you know, they find out that I'm from the States, and the first thing they would ask, who are you for, Obama or for Hillary? And when I would comment that I'm for Obama, they would all agree that it was a good thing. It's a wonderful thing that's happening in the country. And because there's so many people from all over the world, like when he approached his numbers, he reached his numbers, I immediately got on my bike and went to one of my local pubs, and there are a couple of guys from Kenya there. And they hadn't heard the news, and when I did, they all went up in the bar. Everybody turned around and wanted to know what was going on, and they just thought it was unbelievable.
Tony, what's the press coverage of this nomination like in Amsterdam?
Obama's pictures, I walked into the supermarket this morning, and his picture is on every Dutch newspaper, on the cover of Dutch newspapers and magazines. And this is like the second round. There was one period where I also have Dutch friends who said, when he announced that, we don't know who he is. We know who the Clintons are, but we don't know who he is. And the day after the speech in Philadelphia, I went to have coffee and cake with some friends, and before I could even put my bag down, they said, you know what I said 6 weeks ago? That has been remedied. We know who he is now. And then around that time, I walked into the supermarket, and it was the same thing, and it was unbelievable to stand there in the line and look at the newspapers and the magazines and to see this African-American face on the cover of almost every Dutch newspaper magazine. It was unbelievable.
Tony, thanks.
And the point, yeah.
Go ahead. You wanted to say the point is, I can't cut off that line.
Okay, the point about him having to, not being able to say certain things, not being able to speak towards the black cause. My belief is that he has to do what he has to do to get into the office. He would be the president for everyone, not just African-Americans. Our cause is an important cause, and I can understand the other callers. I can understand their point of view. And Hillary's remarking about the incidents in New York, it's just a lot. I just don't know. He's doing what he has to do.
Tony, thanks a lot for calling us from the Netherlands. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call.
Tony in Amsterdam, as we continue to take calls from black Americans on what you think the nomination of Barack Obama says or actually means to anyone else's life about racial equality in this country. Dwayne in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I called in because I'm from a West Indian family, and here in Prospect Heights, because of the West Indians and the Park Slopians and everybody, it was like the one overwhelming place that voted for him in the primary. But
Clinton won most of the congressional districts within New York City, but that one went for Obama.
Right, exactly. And I was on a bus on the way home from the airport when my friend texted me and told me that he'd gotten the delegates for the nomination. So I immediately called up my grandmother, and she was like, happy and in tears. She emigrated to the United States from Guyana about a couple years after the I Have a Dream speech.
Oh.
And to hear the way she explained the sort of transformation of the media outlook on black people, just the way that black people have been able to progress in the last 45 years or whatever was something that, you know, kind of moved me to tears. So it's one of those things. I have an aunt who's pregnant now. And it's one of those things where, as a family, we're all looking, and I mean, we're happy that he's gotten where he's gotten, where we're really proud of the fact that America could look at somebody who he's not just a black candidate. He is half black and half white, and when you're West Indian, you're mixed up with so many things that this idea that someone who's a multiracial individual.
And your reaction to Joanne and to Daryl and the downsides that they were pointing out?
I hear that, and I hear that from my white friends and from my black friends. I agree with the other West Indian caller and the guy from Amsterdam. I think that he has to be the president of everyone. And I think, more importantly, I think it's one of those things where I see Hillary Clinton speaking to the issue, but she is a senator from New York, and that's a New York thing. I hear him sort of, I think when you're running as a black person for president, you really can't stand on the soapbox and be a more active activist-y type of person mm-hmm. in that way. I think you have to sort of take a look at what it is that you need to do in order to get as many, like, all the votes and, you know, proceed from there. And I think when he's president, that also changes some of the perspective of the people who are involved on the other side of these issues, like Gina Six and Sean Bell's and all the rest of it. You begin to see that there, I think a lot of the problem is that the a lot of people in different positions of authority they don't see black people as the same. And when you have a president that's black, you can't help but see black people as the same.
Dwayne, thank you very much. Jameel in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jameel.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Listen, I just want to say about the call that just called. You know, the past presidents haven't been for everybody, you know, especially George Bush. You know, his policies have been towards the rich and successful and against the poor. So that's not true. Another thing, I believe Barack Obama, 99.9%, he's going to be the next president of the United States. It would be the worst thing for the black community for him to be president.
You think?
Why? It's because I don't want to see a black man or black woman as the face of imperialism around the world in tyranny. I wouldn't want to see that.
Thank you very much. We'll get one more caller. Edie in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling us.
Yes, Brian, I'm calling, the way I'm calling is to support Barack, and also I'm American-African. We have two kids, biracial, they must be white, and I'm African. And
What country are you from?
I'm from a West African country called Mauritania.
Mm-hmm, Mauritania, uh-huh.
Yeah, and for my kids to grow up in this country and see a person same color as them, as a president, that's going to be very, very big self-esteem for my kids in this country. That's something I really, really support for all.
What do you say as someone who came from West Africa to Jameel, the previous caller, who said he cringes at the thought of a black man as the face of American imperialism?
I disagree. If he go overseas everywhere and the world as a black person, as a black American, you are very respected, you are very loved, you are very very caring. People always love black American, and I don't think I don't have that view as a black president of the United States. I don't have that view with the president caller.
Edie, thank you very much, and thanks to all of you for calling in. And you can continue this conversation on our webpage. A lot of people posting about this already. Get into that mix at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and thanks for all your calls. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we come back, we're going to launch a new series, and everybody should go to our webpage right now, because this series is going to be with the author of a census atlas. This is an actual atlas, a series of maps, a whole book of maps that show trends in the population and in various things about life in America. We put a few of those maps on our webpage, and we're going to walk you through them. They're very cool. They're very colorful. And we're going to talk about migration within the United States as we all look at these maps at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do it if you can. It'll make sense even if you don't. Stay with us.